morning. Thank you, Susan, for that very appropriate prayer. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians. This is one of my favorite verse in here is verse 6 and was given to me by a friend shortly after I came to faith. The Philippi church is one that is very near and dear to the Apostle Paul's heart, and he writes a wonderful, wonderful letter to them. So let's read the beginning together. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I write to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Wherever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live in pure and blameless lives until the day Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Mike. That reading, it is a favorite letter that Paul has written here for many people, myself as well, through a lot of the years. And it in so many ways, it's a thank you letter from Paul to the followers of Jesus in Philippi. Seems like a very apropos passage for me to speak from this morning, because it is a real gratitude that fills my own heart and life for everything. I mean, in so many ways, dimensions that you've expressed and manifested your love, your grace, your care, your support to our family through the last week or so, and I'm very, very deeply grateful for that. I think this might be my thank you message. I don't know, but I feel that. I really live that as I stand before you this morning. The sense of being deeply, richly blessed to be part of this this church family. Could we have verse 6, Liam, up on the screen from here? Because this is not only Mike's verse. I want to claim the verse too. Right? And I know there's lots of other people that claim this verse given to them by good friends through the years. One of my favorite verses, I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. It's a remarkable verse. I've shared this verse with other people to encourage them and help them and support them through the years when they might have felt uncertain or unsure about where things were going, how things were taking place, developing, and happening in their lives. It's a wonderful gift, isn't it, to have that measure of certainty, surety, assurance. But it seems, like just thinking as Susan was praying, there is so much in our world that is uncertain, and that we wonder. I mean, is there any place where we can put our feet and know that we're on solid ground, solid rock? Well, Paul was, as he wrote this letter to the followers of Jesus in Philippi, certain deep within his spirit that God was doing a good work in their lives and would continue to do that good work and would finish that good work. And it wasn't certainty as some kind of bravado or some kind of triumphalistic spirit or boasting on Paul's part. Rather, it was the very deep confidence that he had that God truly was doing something remarkable in Christ in their lives, making something beautiful out of the dust. Wonderfully chosen. I mean, I just feel so very grateful to have the team of people around here that we have in Knox who really pray into everything that they're doing and taking part in. But that's what Paul was sure of, certain of, that out of the dust and out of the ground, God was crafting something beautiful, rich, wonderful in who these people were and who they would become. But where did all that certainty and assurance come from? Well, you really have to go back to the verses before. And Liam, if you could put those up for us. And just going to read these again. Every time I think of you, Paul writes, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And there you have it. Right there you have it. It was their partnership. It was this relationship, this community of faith that they experienced in God the Spirit. This was what they had in common. They were partners together in sharing in word and in deed the good news about Jesus with others. And it wasn't a one-off kind of thing that had happened. There was consistency. There was a constancy in it. You see it in what Paul writes from the first time you heard it. It's carried on. There was history between them. There was knowledge. There was understanding. This church in Philippi was no, fly-by-night kind of group of people here today and gone tomorrow. This church had become the hands and the feet of Jesus in Philippi. And Paul knew this, the history that they had, that in very concrete, tangible, specific kinds of ways, they were able, they were willing, they engaged in loving, supporting, caring, within their own community of faith and in the wider community of Philippi. And when you see that kind of faith in action, as Paul had observed it and heard about it, you can be confident that God's at work. God's doing something. This was the basis for Paul's certainty here, that God was forming and shaping something very good, something wonderful in who they were and in what they were doing. But how were they actually doing it? You keep pressing into these verses, because verse 6 is a remarkable verse, but it doesn't stand by itself. There was this partnership, but how was the partnership being expressed? Well, there's two ways. Well, there's actually three, but I'm going to skip the third one this morning. I'm going to give you two. The first one is what I call they had an open heart and an open home. Back in the mid-late 70s, I read a book. Jan and I read a book by Karen Burton Maines, an American Christian, called Open Heart, Open Home. That's where this comes from. These people in Philippi were willing to share their homes with each other. You know, I have thought this, the Lord has planted this in me over decade after decade, that the home of a follower of Jesus is a miracle that's waiting to be shared with others. The life of a follower of Jesus, it's a miracle that God just waits to share with someone else. You go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 11, and you read there the story of Paul coming into Philippi. And one of the very first people to believe was a businesswoman named Lydia. And she believed, and she said to Paul, if you think it's the real deal, this faith that I have in God, come. You've got to come to my home and share it with me and share it with the community of faith here now in Philippi. And they began to gather in Lydia's home, and they worshiped God. She opened up her life. She opened up her home to this fledgling little group of Christians, followers of Christ in Philippi. and they began to learn and to grow as they studied, and they increased in their faith and their love for Jesus as the Lord of their life. And that's the kind of partnership. This is the history. This is what Paul knew about these Christians in Philippi. And at its core, what this is about is people, not just Lydia, but others, taking what they had and making it available for the benefit of others. They saw that it no longer belonged to them, it belonged to God. They were to be stewards of it and share it with others. It's the exact opposite of what you see happening. And you know, what we feel the pressure of even in our own world. You've heard the word, I'm sure, cocooning. Well, cocooning is when we begin to socialize less and we retreat from other people into the safety, into the seclusion of our own homes. We've got all the technological paraphernalia that we need, and there we are. We don't have to move very far beyond that. That is not a sign of God at work. That's not God at work at all. God at work means that the heart and the home gets thrown open to become a space, to become a place where you love and you bless and you support and you care and you invest in the lives of others in the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus. That's kind of why I feel like I could have written this letter, because that's, you know, what Jan and I have experienced, the investing of your love and grace and care and support through this last week, the way that you've thrown open your own lives to us and to other people that are part of our church family. You've made a space, you've made a place for us. You know, my brother Archie was here, and he was meeting folks, chatting and talking with folks here. And the thing that he said to me afterwards, I thought, wow. I just thought, well, he said, you know, when he talked to person after person from the Knox family here, what he heard, he would say, hey, my brother, oh, my brother, he's a character, but he would say to people, why do you go to Knox, and why do you keep going to Knox? Did he ask some of you that? Likely, if he was talking to you. And his account to me was that in person after person, the response that came back was the experience of family. The grace of God, the miracle of Jesus that's at work here through the years that you've experienced this blessing, an open heart and an open home. It's the evidence, it's the certainty that we can have that God is at work in this place with this people, in our own lives. The second piece of evidence is found a little bit later in the chapter, in chapter 4, in verses 10 through 20. And this one I call, you got an open heart and an open home. You could call this an open heart and an open pocketbook, because this one's all about a spirit of generosity, very generous financial giving. It's not like they were well off. It's not like they had tons and tons of money, but they knew how to give of what God had blessed them with. And not one-off giving, not occasional giving, but consistent. And indeed, according to the ability, the blessing that they received from God, significant giving. In fact, as I've already said, this short letter was a bit of a thank you note for Paul, and a thank you note really for their latest gift to him. Paul was letting them know that their open heart, their open lives, and their open pocketbook was one of the strongest evidences of God at work in their midst. Just let me quote you one verse that he writes, verse 10 of chapter 4. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. And then down to verse 19, your giving is a sweet-smelling sacrifice that's acceptable and pleasing to God. When a person, according to the way that they've been blessed in their lives, the ability that they have, when they give their money, when he or she gives their money consistently and generously, you can be confident. When a church is a giving church of their finances, you can be sure that God is at work in their midst. It's one of the signs of of the true work of God in the life of a church. 3 years ago, we had a Christmas mission project here at Knox, and we raised over $11,000 for that went towards the construction costs of what was being seen as the new youth center here in Waterdown. Well, now it's up, and it's been open for several months now, and numbers of you have already been through. You found a connection and a relationship there. This afternoon, as John mentioned in the announcements, 5 o'clock, we're going to be having our congregational potluck there and be able to have a tour of the facility. Knox, you see, it wasn't a one-off for us, 2011. We're in a continuing partnership with the Youth Unlimited Youth Center here in Waterdown. And this Christmas, we are pledging to help them with the sound, the music equipment for the main floor. You can see that in the top picture there. You see that back wall in black there. And there's going to be a lot of musical sound equipment that's going to be bought, purchased for that area. In fact, I think, where'd Ian go? Yeah, he's slouching there. They're talking to Long and McQuaid about that, and Ian's made a quote for them on that. But one of the overflows of the 2011 and now again in 2014 is that we're going to be given a naming privilege. And you can see, as you look in the screen, on the right-hand side to that main stage area there, some booths, and you see it in the bottom picture there. It's a cafe area, and we're going to be able to name that area in memory of Chris Vise. You know, when it's not my notes. We don't have a lot of time. We got a video to show you here, but I got to tell you this, because how many of you know Andrew Jakes, Tom and Sue's son, Andrew? Well, you know, when they opened this place up for the students to come over for lunch, and they didn't get very many the first time, the second time, the third time, and then the fourth time or so, Drew showed up with a couple others of his friends. So they had four. And that 4 grew to 20, and that 20 is about 50, 60, you know, varies between 30 and 60 teens in that space, right there, during the week, coming from the high school. You know, what's amazing to me that we not only have this opportunity to give and to give substantially towards, I believe, the youth center, what's amazing to me is that doesn't pose or represent a barrier to your ongoing giving to our own other ministries through Knox Church. You know, we come to the end of the year, there's always challenges. Brad's going to slouch in his seat now. You know, I've gone from Ian to Brad over here. But, you know, that spirit of generosity and giving, that understanding that God is going to bless us with more than enough as we're faithful to the good work that He's doing in our lives. When God is real to a church, when God is real to a person, you give. We give. When God's at work changing lives, you see that taking place and happening, we give. When we sense the presence of God, we begin to give at a level that really speaks out. We want others to know the miracle of what God is doing in our lives through our church. Open home, open heart, open home, generous giving. We're going to show a video right now. It's about 8 minutes long. Really do want to thank Mike for